Today kicks off the 25th annual Midwest Renewable Energy Fair in Custer. Every year, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association gathers experts, exhibitors, and keynote speakers in central Wisconsin for an event centered on renewable energy education.
And we've got several guests with us for a preview of this year's festival. First up is Nick Hyla, the executive director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So it's the 25th annual fair. How have things changed over the years?
Oh, pretty significantly. The Energy Fair started as an activist event, and we still have some of that. But we're always pushing the edge. But many of the things that were advocated 25 years ago are really large national industry and public and private sector interests. For example, the first fair, they put up a solar system, a pretty small solar system, and the cost at that time of the solar electric system was $84 a watt. Which is basically a measure of the size of the system as a watt. And today, that same system cost would be anywhere between, say, $1.80 and $4 a watt. So the price of some of the renewable energy technologies have fallen so significantly that that the entire environment has changed.
And interest in terms of the people who attend the fair, the crowd's been growing over the years?
The last few years the crowds were down a little bit, and I think that was twofold. One, the economy was a little sluggish, and we really hadn't had a very favorable renewable policy climate in Wisconsin. But as of today, this year we've had the busiest Friday in a long time, and we see a lot of renewed interest. Lots of business participation as we see kind of the growth in the renewable sectors, both in electric vehicles and solar electric and solar thermal systems, biodigesters. Generally, a lot of optimism right now about deployment of renewables, both in the residential and commercial space, and quite frankly, by the electric utilities themselves.
Okay, and a full slate of activities for the weekend. Hoping for good weather, I imagine?
Well, we lucked out. Last year we were hit by lightning a half hour before open and lost our phones and our credit card machines. And this year that same storm front looks to be over Michigan. So we have clear weather for the whole weekend, 80 degrees, a beautiful day, nice and cool night. So, yeah, we're really excited.
Bad for Michigan, good for us. Nick,
yeah.
thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Nick Hyla, Executive Director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Right now we turn to one of the fair's keynote speakers. He is Michael Noble, the Executive Director of Fresh Energy. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you're going to be talking to this group about solar and wind energy, and you've been around the business for a while. In terms of where these industries are right now, are we at some sort of a critical point in the history of, I don't know if I want to call it alternative energy, but solar and wind?
I think that's exactly what we're hearing. 25 years is a long time for people to be gathering in a farm field in Custer, Wisconsin. But maybe the first year there were some Birkenstocks and some tie-dye, but now this is a big international business, and solar energy and wind energy is really inevitable now that it'll overtake coal and natural gas. In the next year or two or three, wind energy will be cheaper than what I like to call plain vanilla electricity on the electric system. Without any subsidies or without any incentives, wind power will be the cheapest way to make electricity. And solar energy will be about 4 or 5 years behind. But within the next decade, wind energy and solar energy will be the cheapest way you can make new electricity.
Now, are we talking cheap for utilities, or are we talking cheap for the average consumer who might want to put some panels on their house or something?
I think that a large industrial scale solar and wind is going to be lower cost more quickly, but solar energy is going to be economic on your own roof in the not too distant future. Wind energy already is a heck of a bargain. I've come from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and our large electric utility buys more wind power than any utility in the world, and they claim that wind energy has been pushing down electric rates for their customers. They would have been higher if they hadn't been buying wind power all these last 10 years.
Now, in terms of the amount of wind and solar being used in the electric market, where are we percentage-wise? Where do we start, say, like 10 years ago, and where are we today? And how do you see that graph changing?
You can answer that question worldwide or nationwide or in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is, 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, it was, very, very low single digits, maybe even less than 1% at the turn of the century. But now we're getting up, I think. My own electric bill in St. Paul, Minnesota, is about 16% wind power now, and some utilities are pushing the envelope. On June 9th in Germany, half of all the electricity for a few hours in Germany was generated by solar power. 50.2% or something was coming from solar electric panels on the homes and businesses of the people who live in Germany. That just proves that the industry has a really enormous future, both solar power and wind power, and we're just getting a roll on right now.
So in terms of opposition, though, who is opposing this? I mean, are we talking about traditional energy producers, or is it just a political thing, or what?
Well, both, I guess, is the answer. I'm going to mention tomorrow that over on $900 million is spent annually in America to fight the notion that we have a serious problem with our climate. About $900 million in shady nonprofit and corporate contributions where you can't even necessarily track where these contributions come from. Is being spent to keep the American people confused about whether we have an energy problem, whether we have a climate problem or not. So the old way is dying, but it's going down slow and hard and fighting. Wisconsin, unfortunately, is falling behind the neighboring states. Iowa and Michigan and Minnesota and Illinois are all dramatically ahead of Wisconsin on clean energy. And I think eventually consumers and businesses and customers of electric utilities will realize that not only is Wisconsin missing out on the jobs, but it's missing out on the stable, low-cost electricity that solar and wind can provide.
Well, Michael, we're out of time, but thanks so much for being with us.
I'm appreciative of your taking my call today.
That's Michael Noble, the Executive Director of Fresh Energy.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're continuing our look at this year's Midwest Renewable Energy Fair with a talk with another keynote speaker. George Seaman is with us. He is a founding farmer and CEO for Organic Valley. George, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks. Great to be here.
I want to talk a little bit about your work before we get into the message that you're going to be bringing to the fair this year. You know, looking back at the work you were doing with Crop back in the late 80s and then sort of where you are now, are you sort of surprised at where you wound up, or is this something that it makes perfect sense to you?
Oh, we're more than surprised. You know, Crop Cooperative was started as a farmer cooperative with the idea to see if we could use organic marketing to make farming viable and sustainable, and we really set out to do what we thought was the right thing, and we had no idea we would succeed, no less become a $1 billion farmer co-op that's the biggest co-op in the United States of organic. So, oh, sure, we're really surprised and very happy to be able to be where we're at today.
So given all of that, what's the message that you are taking to the people who are attending the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair this weekend?
Well, you know, it's great. We just are celebrating our 26th year. They're celebrating their 25th year, and it's really a great perspective to look back and see how much when we were just beginning, how much we were on the outside looking in, and now we're the future, and it's becoming more and more obvious, and we share so much of common values, and it's just something where we need to join each other's movement, so to speak, and we support renewable energy, and we need them to support organic food, and it's all part of a sustainable future.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. How does organic farming fit into that idea of renewable energy, of a sustainable future.
Yeah. Well, you know, once you get by, you know, not using all the pesticides and herbicides and all that, you know, organic farming is a much better carbon sequestration because of all the soil tilth and the roots and the pasture basedness to it. And there's just a lot of benefits from organics to the environment. And, of course, there's also benefits to the health of the people. So it's a complex thing, organics is, but it's a viable system, and it answers a lot of the problems we have in our society today.
Would you say that it's more of the mainstream now than it was then when you started? I mean, certainly there are plenty of high-end stores where you can buy organics. You can get them almost everywhere. But yeah. is it fully integrated, or is it still kind of an outlier in some ways?
Well, organics is very much in all parts of our society today. It's amazing. You know, it's 60-70% of the people buy one organic high and the other, is what the polls say. Organic milk today, the drinking milk, is 7.9% of all fluid milk sold in the United States. And you're finding it in all the major chains. And so organics is an important part of the grocery market. In many stores, it's the only part that's really growing. So it's very important to the grocers. And biggest indication you see of that is the real focus that Costco and Target and Walmarts are doing, you know, to kind of compete with the food co-ops and the Whole Foods and all the other chains that have been carrying organic food for a while.
Yeah, and on the supply side of things, there's been a shift too, at least looking around Wisconsin. You know, a lot back in the 70s and 80s, you know, lots of traditional farming, if you want to call it that. The return to organics calls for a difference in philosophy on the part of suppliers as well.
Yeah, it's been a real gift to the family farms of Wisconsin to be able to, a real lifeline to organics has made the traditional Wisconsin farms be viable, and certainly you can see that people are going organic or getting bigger as a trend in Wisconsin. We are lagging behind in transition. We need more support from the government that we don't get, and you know, in general, our ag policies favor the conventional chemical agriculture, and so we struggle to get enough transition acres, and our co-op takes the lead on a lot of that to get more people transitioning to organics.
So as you look at the future of your business and of organics in general, is it able to grow fast enough to meet demand, or are those things sort of pacing nicely with each other?
Overall, they're pacing nicely. You know, you know, there's nobody really stimulating the acres like we'd like to see, as I just said. So right now we're seeing a growth rate of 10%, and that's a healthy growth rate for a business our size. The industry's growing about that rate. And you're seeing a lot more imported organics, which while some people might debate that, it's good for those people going that way versus the chemical ag route. But also there's organic acres out there that are coming towards this United States. So I think it's a healthy balance. Of course, I'm an organic advocate, and I'd like to see more. But if you compare the last 25 years where the renewable energy movement's gone and where we've gone, you really have to say things have really changed.
And, you know, organic is one of those words that is tossed around a lot, and sometimes people don't always know what they're saying. You, I know, have played a significant role in creating some of the USDA standards for organic foods. But when you're talking to people, how do you define organic, and how do you hear it maybe used inappropriately sometimes?
Yeah, well, organics has two meanings. One is it's a third-party verified USDA organic standard of how food is produced. And it's produced without with practices that are required, and it's produced without prohibited materials. And so it's rare that you have a third-party verified food system that answers so many concerns like pasturing and humane care and the use of chemicals and that kind of thing. So that's kind of the regulatory label definition. For a farmer, organics is all about working with nature, trying to not fight nature, but to figure out what works best on their farm and what works best in the system they have. And so it gives permission to farmers to think for themselves. And we've got some great successes in Wisconsin with farmers getting state average yields and buying very little inputs and succeeding in this modern day.
Now, you've had some big success at Organic Valley, and the industry as a whole has grown so much. Is this an important time for organics, or do you just see any kind of turning point, or do you just see things sort of continuing to grow at a predictable rate?
Well, this embracing, and I don't want to say that all retailers are important, but this embracing that you're seeing by the Walmart and Costco's and the big chains is pretty significant, because you keep, every time you go into a new marketplace, you bring in a new group of consumers, because consumers tend to be loyal to their stores and convenience and that kind of thing. So we're seeing a surge now, and the volume in those stores is really, really telling. So the industry, the market's kind of divided in two parts: the natural foods people, who we're very loyal to, and then these bigger players that are bringing a whole new group of consumers in. So I'm very hopeful when you look at the educated young people, especially the educated females and young mothers, and how their focus is that, you know, with children, with mothers having less children all the time, you're seeing more and more concern about these issues. So I think organics has got a lot of growth potential still.
Well, George, thanks so much for being with us today.
All right. Thank you.
We've been talking with George Seaman. He is the founding farmer and CEO for Organic Valley.
And he's speaking at this weekend's Midwest Renewable Energy Fair in Custer, Wisconsin.
This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.